But there's a difference, and the difference shows his whole relationship to knowledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distorted. So the in Yahadis, the style is, as I mentioned before, the style is that the Torah doesn't reveal everything, and certain things, you know, you have to investigate. Well, you mentioned table of I mentioned by the first thing you find by Lech Lecha, the Torah makes it appear as if Terach died before Avram left him, and because people couldn't accept the idea it was his father, even though it was a Russia, but emotionally people wouldn't be able to accept it, so the Torah doesn't reveal it. But yet, if you investigate and you count up the years, you will be able to determine. And the same thing is true with by Pesel Micha, that the one of the Komrim, one of the priests, was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, so the Torah hides it by putting a Nun Tluya in the name of Moshe. So it looks like Menashe, but yet it's Tluya, a person that investigates, and the Bali Masara asks, why is that Nun Tluya? He finds out that it really was Moshe. So that's the style of the Torah, and that's the style of the Chachamim, and I mentioned the one that really put in the greatest effort in imitating the style of the Torah, and not revealing things and yet making things available to people who are on the level, was the Rambam, the Rambam Amar Navachon. That is the one sefer where that he really put in tremendous effort to use the method of revealing and of concealing at the same time. That's really that's a part of the chachma of his work, and I believe he considers it part of the Ruach HaKodesh that he had, that he was able to do it in the proper manner. That he mentions he had Ruach HaKodesh in the beginning of the third section. So the So you have to be careful. I mean, you have to be careful what you say, and it's on different levels. I mean, it's on different levels. Certain insights that an individual has always have to remain with that person. If the person has information that the information would be harmful for somebody in another framework to gain knowledge of, because they would misuse it, so it has to always remain with that person. But on the other hand, there are times when certain decisions have to be made as well. I mean, unfortunately, because of other considerations, certain things are revealed, and then you have to decide, what to do with it. I mean, like for instance, midrashim were never meant to be written down. I mean, that's why in Masechet Seferim it says that a person that's I forget the exact lashon over there. Masechet Seferim says that ein lahem chel lalam abo, the kosvei, I forget the lashon, the ones that write down the midrashim, that they have no chel lalam abo because it was never meant to be written down. So the kosvei agada. So, but unfortunately, I mean, we had no choice because it would have been lost. So we were forced to commit it to writing. And the question is, what do you do if there is committed to writing? I mean, obviously, you have to. It wasn't supposed to, but now every fool is going to take a medrash and thinks he understands it, or thinks that the medrash is in line with the projections of his fantasy and his imagination. So it'll destroy a lot of people. I mean, that's what as the Raiva, talks about that. Where the Raiva argues with the Rambam on whether if a person has the wrong idea of God, is he loses chel olam haba. So that's what the Raiva says, that it happens. The reason why these people get the wrong ideas is because it's not their fault, but it's not that they want to believe these things, but they think they have to many times, and therefore you can't take away olam haba from them, because it's not that they desire to believe these things, but they just they think that's pshuto shel mikra, and they base it on the agadas, like the agadas in Masechet Brachos, and Meshabshes HaSadeis. So that's what the Ravid argues with the Rambam. He says that if the person doesn't intrinsically want to believe these things, he just feels that's what the Torah is saying. So based upon his misunderstanding of the agadas, you can't take olam haba away from him, because his basic underlying belief is whatever the Torah says, but he's trying to be... he's trying to. It's not that it many times doesn't even make sense to him, but he feels that's what the Torah is saying. What is he going to do? I mean, he feels that's the Masara, and he's caught. So the Ravid is much more tolerant than the Rambam. I mean, insofar as deciding the fate of that individual. Of course, there's no psak halacha in such things, so no one knows. But in the Ravid's opinion, the person wouldn't lose the chel from Olam Haba if that's the reason that they have these misconceptions. Yeah. But part of what I think was wrong and was done wrong in this door is that they translated a lot of things. And they translated especially, what bothers me the most is the translations of the Rambans. A lot of the Rambans should never have been translated. That every fool, every person that's completely ignorant of the Torah, I mean, even Goyen, can pick up a translation of a Ramban, and the Ramban will say that he believes that there are certain trees in distant countries that can do things that are absurd. I mean, because he relied on the records of some of the adventurers that in the old days that went on trips and came back with all kinds of tales. And that was the information that was received at that time as being authentic. And if you look into the Ramban, and you'll see that he accepted it, and he believed these kind of things, and it was totally, totally, today we look at it as totally nonsensical. Or some of the things that he says in biology, with regard to sperm, and in terms of procreation, things that we know that today are absurd. But those were the things that at the time were accepted, and the average person today just will take a look and say the Ramban says that. I mean, he was a fool. So that means that the Ramban discredited the Ramban. So the Ramban was a tremendous chacham, one of the finest minds. But you have to realize a person that's a chacham knows that you can't take credit because. For the fact that you're living at this time, so things seem very simple, you know, how can anybody think otherwise? But it's very difficult for a person who's not a chacham to realize, you know, what place himself in the past and realize that there is an inherent limitation in the human mind. So no matter how intelligent the person is, with regard to certain things, you can't go out of your sphere of knowledge. So, in my opinion, a lot of those things that were translated should never have been translated, and I think that that Chazal would have been against it, very much against it. But whatever it is, it did occur, did happen, and now the question is, what do you do about it? It's a good question. What do you do about it? It's something to think about. I mean, in other words, do you just leave it, and then people will have false ideas based on either like some people will feel that they have to be faithful to what the Ramban says, and if they don't believe what the Ramban says, they're up a person, so they'll believe in it and it really is false. Or on the other hand, other people who will reject the Ramban incorrectly. I mean, that you have both problems, really. But at any rate, what I wanted to do today was something that has to do with that area, and it seems to me that the well-known Machlokes HaRishonim about magic and the practices. I mean, basically, the parsha in the Torah that deals with it's in Dvarim Yudches, is the main parsha. I mean, it's a lot of places, but most explicit is Dvarim Yudches, where you have Ki Atah Bo La'aretz. Yudches Tes. Ki Atah Bo La'aretz She'ar Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch Lasum Ad Lasos Kisovos Hagoyim Mohem. And then the Torah goes through. Ve'matzecha Ma'aviv Ben Avito Ba'esh and Maone menache shmachash machashev chover chover. So vas Hashem koloseila. V'glal tover seila Hashem lekecha merish something from nacha. Tamenti emet Hashem lekecha. Okay, so that parsha is that parsha received two interpretations. One interpretation was interpretation of the Rambam, and the other was the interpretation of the Ramban. And it seems to me that it is to interpret a parsha. Is a very significant task. I mean, in other words, the way you interpret is going to make a very big difference. It seems to me, a big difference if it's an area which entails the fundamentals of Yahadus. So it would seem that the parsha, it's true, every parsha always entails a fundamental in some way, and it's true, but there are certain parshas that are more directly involved, essentially, in the fundamentals of Yahadus. And it would seem that, depending on the interpretation, I mean, interpretation will determine where the individual should direct his efforts. In other words, the Torah really is a guide to where a person's efforts should be directed in order to attain perfection. So if you have a parsha that tells you a yesod, it's giving you a fundamental principle, it's giving you fundamental direction, so how you interpret the parsha is going to make a very significant difference. I don't see any way to sidestep that logically. I don't see any way to sidestep that. So therefore, you're going to have machlokas as to what the basic underlying idea of the parsha is going to make a big difference. It's going to make a big difference. And I don't see any way to, you can't just say, sometimes you could say, it's a machlekes. Okay, in halacha, that's the way it always is. It's a machlekes, whatever it is. It's a machlekes, either this way or that way, but both positions are logical. How we paskin is a matter of haraw and psak halacha, and we have a system for that. And then that's it. But whether it's one way or the other way doesn't make a difference ideationally. In terms of lima, it doesn't make any difference and doesn't affect the individual's life. But it seems to me that you cannot say that in areas where the purpose of the Torah is to direct your efforts. In attaining perfection, because if it means one thing, then your efforts have to be channeled in one way. If it's something else, have to be channeled in another way. And it seems there's no logical way to just say, well, it's just a machlekes. You can't say it's just a machlekes. It's something which is like the machlekes I mentioned before. If a person believes that God is physical, does he have a chelek in olam haba? Doesn't he? You can't just say, well, it's a machlekes rishonim. I mean, It's not like saying it's a machlekes in whether Basarif is Bacholov is Osman or not. I mean, or whether it's Osman or Banan or not. I mean, it's a different kind of machlekes. It's a different kind of machlekes. So these kind of arguments, you can't just say that they're not of major significance. You say, does he have a chalak or doesn't he have? Is it machlekes Rambam and Raivi? You can't say, well, it's a machlekes Shoshana. I mean, the question is where this person is heading for. I mean, and where such an individual is heading is only God knows. I mean, we don't know. So we can't expect to come up to Shamayim, so to speak, and say, look, it's a Mahil like the Raivi. I mean, You can't do it. It's not possible. In these areas, that's what the Ram points out, in these areas there's no such thing as psak. And you'll never find Chazal, when they have machlokes like this, saying, the Hilchos that this. There's no such thing. So, because that's reality, you can't paskin on reality. You're paskin on the system of Allah, but you can't paskin on reality. Reality, only God knows, and the way it is, that's the way it is. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. So you see, it's of major significance to understand a thing al burya, like the Rambam says, the way it really is. I mean, and if you don't understand the thing the way it really is, so then you're going to be missing out in terms of perfection. And I don't care what the machlokes is, but the bottom line is that if you're not in God's reality, then you're nowhere. I mean, and that's it. You can't. There aren't two realities there. Yeah. So, to me, you have a pasuk in this week's parsha, which I mentioned yesterday. We went through what started me off on this was really the Ramban on Lo Soch Lo Adam, which I mentioned yesterday. Which is Ramban. It's a strange thing, but Lo Soch Lo Adam, the Rambam in the Morning of Uchum and the Ramban said the exact same thing. They said, what does it mean? It means that there was a practice. The ancients had a practice. The primitive people had a practice of through identification in eating. What they would do is they would drink the blood, eat the blood, because they believe that the spirits are eating the blood. So therefore, by eating with the spirits, they formed an unconscious identification with these spirits, and they felt that these spirits will be friendly to them, and they'll give them information about the future, whatever other powers they ascribed to these spirits. And the Rambam says, but then there were some people that couldn't tolerate drinking blood because it was disgusting, so they miyashiv that there's a bimekel over here. So what they did was they put a pot of blood in the middle of the floor, and they'd sit around and eat at the same time, and they felt that since they're eating together with the spirits at the same time, so that's enough of a tziruf, and therefore the spirits will still be friendly, and they don't have to eat the disgusting blood, and that's what the Rambam says. That's why it says Lo Soch Lo Al Adam Al Hadam. Okay, there's no one that uses that pasuk to mean you shouldn't eat dam, but there are other halachas. It's used for lav ben sarah mara and for eating before tefillah and for other things, for bez and other things. But the pshuto shel mikra, the Rambam says means you're not allowed to guess. The Rambam says. In the Mora, it means you're not allowed to sit around a pot of blood and eat, because it's a primitive practice. So I mentioned yesterday that it's the only case that I know of where the Pshuto Shel Mikra is different than the Teresh Baal Peh. In other words, there's no Teresh Baal Peh about eating. If a person's in a slaughterhouse and he wants to eat supper and there's blood on the floor, there's no issue. So there's no tzura of Teresh Baal Peh. Never gave this thing a tzura. But in Torah Shebechsav, it's also. So you're not allowed to do it. So the question we raised yesterday is, what is the Issa? I mean, what is the Issa? And the Ramban says the same thing like the Rambam says in Marnevoch. Exactly the same thing, that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. So we mentioned that really it comes under Losel Chubachukas Agai. Because the Rashi says, Losumad Lasos and Dvarim Yudches, the Dvarim we mentioned before, Dvarim Yudches, Chof Gimel, was it Chof Gimel? Tess. Dvarim Yudches Tess. So Rashi says that you have to learn so you'll know and you'll teach your children when you study what they do. Lahavin Masayim, to understand what they do. Kamahim Kukolim. Lahoros Lavanachal Asasa Kachla Kachshazel Chok Ovid Kachovim. So you see that the practices of Goyim generate Lavin, a love. That whatever they practice, if they do it because of some spiritual belief, that is chakam. So their practice creates a chakam. So that's the way it works generally. So you have to study and understand and learn what they do in order to be able to identify the practice. And you see, they do something that's because of mystical reasons, religious reasons, mystical reasons, superstitious reasons, that whole sphere, you must know what they do and make sure that you don't allow your children to do that, because that's chokakum. But the Torah ordinarily allowed, gave that over to people. You should study and you should know what they do. Know what the primitive people do and identify it and remove yourself and your children from that. Okay, that's the mitzvah. But over here, the Torah didn't give it over to us to investigate. Didn't allow for investigation. The Torah just said this practice is usur. This is a practice intrinsically. Always, no matter what the practices of the other societies are, it doesn't matter. It's always usur. When it came to Dam, the Torah fixed the practice as this is the practice at the time of the Torah, and it's always usur, no matter, even if all the goyim stop doing this, doesn't matter. It's still that practice is intrinsically a practice of Avodah Zarah. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's the only case, I don't know if there's any other case, the only case, and it's appropriate that's the only case, because the Rambam says when it comes to Dam, and when it comes to Moloch, Avodah Zarah and Dam is the same thing. It was Dam by the primitive people was a very, very powerful substance, and they conjured up all kinds of imagination around the idea of Dam, because it attracts the primitive mind. So the Torah had to go out of its way, Venasati Ponai Bo'ishahu, twice. Once by Dam and once by Moloch. And Moloch explained that Rambam says, because Moloch, the person, says, what have I got to lose? But Avodah Zarah, essentially. So you see, but you see even more, what I'm pointing out is even more, that you see that you have a love in Pshuto Shel Mikra that's not a love in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's an amazing thing. And again, the Torah did it by Dam. By Dam, I don't know of any other case. It is by Dam alone that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is a love in Pshuto Shel Mikra, which is not really a love in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a practice. The Torah is telling you, do not do this practice. It's Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Torah is fixing the practice for forever, and is not leaving it dependent upon the practices of the goyim. Like Rashi says, you have to investigate and find out what they do to identify it. Over here, the Torah identifies it and tells you exactly what it is, and that's it. Fixed. It's an interesting thing. Yeah. Yeah, but no, it's not the same thing, because there the Torah gives it a halachic structure. No, but yeah, but there it has halachic form. Whatever has halachic form, of course, is always gonna remain, because it becomes this corpus of Tayag mitzvahs. Tayag mitzvahs you can't change. That we know. But but over here it's not a mitzvah. I mean, it's not a love. I don't know of any issa. If a person has a blood, like I said, there's no issa to sit down and eat supper when there's blood on the table. There's no issa like that. It's just it's a lav in time to Torah Shochsav. Oh, so that's what I'm telling you. The practical effect is that it's telling you the practice. So it'll come under Chukas Hagoy. Chukas Hagoy. Yeah, because everything you do has to be a violation of Tayag. There's nothing outside of Tayag. Okay, I mean, in other words, there can't be an Isser in Torah Shebichsav that's not in Torah Shebaal Peh. I never heard of such a thing. In other words, everything that's an Isser in terms of Maisa has got to be... I'm not saying there aren't Isurim that are not, of course, that I mentioned. It's perfection. I mean, like the Ramban says, for instance, that how do you know Gaiva is also Medaraisa? Because it says by a Melech... Levilti Rumavava Meachov. So the Ramban, that's what Ramban says. If the Melech is not allowed to have Gaiva, when he has reason to have Gaiva, so a person has no reason, Kalvachas Kamavachama, Kalvachama. So there are Isuri Deraisa, there's no question, but that has to do with perfection. But an actual Tsurasa Isser, I don't know of any case where there's a Tsurasa Isser in Maisa that's in Torah Shebichsav, that's not in Torah Shebaal Peh. But of course, what the Torah is telling you is telling you the practice. Once you know the practice, now you'll be over which lav? chukas agai, because tayag is not lacking, so it's got to come under tayag in terms of maisa. But it, the way it's done in the Torah is an unbelievable. And this is not a matter of the Maran Vucham. The Maran Vucham explains a little more than the Ramban with the practice. The Ramban's exact same thing. So that's puta shomekra. So that is an amazing thing. I mean, it's an amazing thing, which further supports. I mean, I'm sure that's what the Ram had in mind, because the Rambam mentions it over there. In the same paragraph, where he mentions that the Torah went against Dam in order to uproot the foolhardy belief, the Rambam says, to separate the fools from their spirits. So in order to uproot that idea. I mean, in that sense, and then the Rabbag says to remove a person from Deos HaNefsados. So because that takes a person away from MS, and if a person is away from MS, he's away from God. That's that's the way it is. So I mean, just to state it simply. But the Torah went out of its way, and that's what I'm pointing out. It could be the Ram had that in mind in the Mora, because he does. It's in the same paragraph there. But you know, the Ram doesn't highlight everything. It's the one case where you see this kind of a phenomenon, which you don't find in Kol Tergal. Interesting thing. So there the Ramban says, or Ramban, after he gets finished, says, and he makes a reference to what he's going to talk about in later. Which is essentially the reference to the Ramban in Yud Ches Tes, Dvarim Yud Ches Tes. Okay? Could be he's referring to other things also. I mean, but that's basically what it is. What is the Chevelle on this one? Yeah, he has also Achrimos. So we'll take a look at it. But But the reason why I mention it is because you see, in this week's edge, you have V'chol Hashem Amati Aleichem Tishameru V'shem Alim Achem Lo Saskiru Lo Yisham Al Picha. So Rashi says over there. So Rashi says that he says. He gives a pshat, the last pshat, Dov Racha, V'chol Hashem Amati Aleichem Tishameru V'shem Alim Achem Lo Saskiru. What is it after? What is the connection between those two things? So he says like this: V'chol Hashem Amati Aleichem Tishameru is called Tarkula, and V'shem Alim Achem Lo Saskiru is a specific thing. So this is L'Lamedcha Sheshkula Avodas Kachovim Keneged Kol Mitzvos Kulam. That Avodas Kachovim is Shoko against all the mitzvahs. And then he goes on, he says, Van Nizharbo, a person that's a Zohir in Avodah Zarah, Kishomer Askulon, just like he keeps all the mitzvahs. So you see, it's not just, like some people think, that if you're not over the lavin that have to do with Avodah Zarah, you see, that means you keep the whole Torah. Now first of all, they're not analyzing it properly. Because the lavin that have to do with Avodah Zarah are only a part of the Torah. So it would be illogical to say that a person that keeps a part of the system, it's as if he keeps the whole system. So what's the whole system for? It doesn't make any sense. You understand what I mean? In other words, if you have Tayag Mitzvahs, so if you have 150, they have to do it Avodah Zarah. So what are they saying? If you keep 150, it's as if you kept 613. So what's the 613? It's completely illogical. Is there a whole and a part? So you can't say the part is the whole. The part is always a part. So it cannot mean that if you keep the mitzvahs that have to do with Avodah Zarah, as if you keep the whole Torah, that's impossible. Yes, it's like saying the part is equal to the whole. It's virtually ridiculous. So what does it mean? This shows you, basically, what it shows you is what we say all the time, I mean, that the mitzvahs and what we did with the Rambam and the Ramban, everybody, that the mitzvahs are really only vehicles of perfection. So therefore, what it's saying is that if a person, an individual, is a zohir in Avodah Zarah, in terms of the objective, it's equal to Kol HaTorah Kula. It means to say, you understand, it means to say, like Avram Avinu, the mark of Avram Avinu was his halech lefone ve'yei samim was tamim tiyem and Hashem lekecha, like the Ramban says. So that means that he was a zohir in Avodah Zarah to the nth degree. So the fact that he didn't have the mitzvahs doesn't take away from him. On the contrary, he reached the objective of Kol HaTorah Kula, you see. But Rashi puts it not just in the negative, he puts it in the positive. That a person that's a nizhar in Avodah Zarah, so apparently it's more, it's not referring to the mitzvahs themselves. As I said, it would be illogical to say the mitzvahs, because they're saying the part is equal to the whole. It means to say he's nizhar in the whole derech avodah zarah. So a person like that who's a zohir in the whole, who's a zohir in the entire derech avodah zarah, is removed from that. That's as if he keeps the whole Torah. It means he has attained the objective of all the mitzvahs. That's what Rashi's saying. So it comes out from Rashi. You understand what I'm telling you? Logically, you can't say anything else. You can't say it means the in terms of the mitzvahs to have the. It means the theme. So a person who's developed to the point where he's completely removed from Avodah Zarah has attained the benefit of all the mitzvahs. That's the same thing. Of course, I mean, a person would be foolish to if he didn't keep them. It doesn't mean he does not keep the mitzvahs. That's also nonsensical. Because the mitzvahs are the way. That's the best way to attain that level. Doesn't mean it's impossible without it. Like the Rambam holds that Avraham Avinu didn't have all the mitzvahs. So and that's Pshut Lashon Mikra seems to be that way. So it doesn't matter, because he attained the perfection of all the mitzvahs. That's what Rabbi Rambam and Rambam says. That the Chazal that says that he kept every single thing, including Eruv HaChatzeres, it means because all the Drabbanans are also for perfection. So it means that he attained the perfection of the whole system. That's what the Rabbi Rambam and Rambam says. So that's the same idea. So in other words, so you see from Rashi, the Torah is telling you something over here. V'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru, v'shein elohim acherim lo saskiru. What is it? V'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru? Of course you have to keep all the mitzvahs. No. Over here, Rashi is explaining, v'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru is referring to the objective. To the objective. What's the emphasis? V'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru. Of course! What's the tired mitzvahs? This pasuk is telling you something different. It's emphasizing v'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru. In other words, what I told you has a valuable objective. So be very careful with this, with these mitzvahs, because there's a tremendous objective here. And the shame of lemacherem leisaskiru, and you should be so far removed from avodah zarah that you shouldn't even mention the name of an avodah zarah. It should be something which is an abomination. So the pasuk is telling you that then you'll attain the objective of kol ha'Torah kulo. And that's a Rashi saying. That's a Rashi explaining the pasuk. So you see from Rashi clearly that there's a very, very important inyan of being a zohir b'avodah zarah. Zohir. Nizhar. What's the word? Nizhar. Nizhar. We call it nizhar b'avodah zarah. So what is that? So can anyone say that that's an unimportant thing to identify what exactly that is? I mean, it would seem to me that there can't be anything more important. It says, Nizar Avodah Zarah is as if he's Shamar Kol HaTorah Kulo. So what can be more important? So if you don't understand it, and you don't uproot it from your nature... So then you're forfeiting the whole benefit of Torah. That seems to be pretty clear. I don't think anyone can deny that. And learn the Chazal. And this is Rashi's quoting. Rashi quotes a lot of times. It's a lot of psukim indicate the same idea. It's not the only time Rashi mentions this. I mean, Rashi of course is quoting Chazal. I mean, a lot of smichs of parshas and things is clear. From the way the Torah connects certain things, it's very clear that this is the Yisod. And everybody, no one, it's not open for any kind of question. Okay. So therefore, I think it's important for us to understand. I mean, to understand what exactly is meant by that. What exactly is meant by that? Excuse me. Yeah, in Dvar, in a few places. Yeah. What does it go to? What does it say over there? Yeah, it's a smichs of parshas, right? The most is the Satman Adarach. Lalachas. Elim Achemla, the beginning of Ray. Right. Yeah, because it's an open pasuk. Yeah, because the pasuk says that what's the lashon pasuk again? The pasuk of the Imlo Sishmo Mitzvah said Hashem Alekechem Vesarta. What is it? And the derech Leleches. Leleches Achrei Lehim Acherim Asher Leidata. Yeah, Leleches Achrei. But you see, so it says, what does it have to do with the mitzvahs and lala and avodah zarah? So the answer is, it's called tergula. In many places in Tariyava, anyone that understands how the mikra works knows exactly what that is.
It's like, it's queer.
Uvichol asher amarti alechem tishmeru. Yeah, with everything, meaning the objective. It's tying the objective to the maaser. I mean, there's no question about it. Or al tifnu el ha'alilim. Al tifnu, you know, tifnu el ha'alilim. You see the psukim telling you, it's a whole derech achayim that you start turning in that derech, you're lost. Al tifnu ha'alilim. So the lashon mikra always makes it clear. Anyone that has any seichel, I mean, it reads lashon mikra, it's clear what the Torah is trying to do. It's not just an abolition of practices. It's more, much more than that. It's a whole derech achayim that a person has to be. It's a whole derech achayim. It's just an abolition of practices. It's nothing to be a zohir in. I mean, you don't do the practices. That's it. Okay, there's four avodas and this and that. Very simple. But if it's a whole derech, then you could talk about being a zohir. So it's extremely important to know what that derech is. Extremely important to know what the derech is. So the Rambam, of course, the Rambam identifies the derech. The Rambam identifies the derech in Hilchas and a famous Rambam in the end of Hilchas Avodas Kechavim. Almost the end, Perek Yud Aleph, the last halacha. So the Rambam says that Dvarim Ha'elu Kulan Divrei Sheker V'Chozav Hein V'Heim Shehitu Behen Ol D'Kachov Ma'Kadmonim L'Goyi Ha'Rotzos Kidei Sheyinagu Achareyen. Okay. Yeah. V'Hein Ro'el Yisrael Sheheim Chachomim Mechukomim Limoshech V'Avolim Eilu V'Lo L'Halos Alev Sheyesh Tovas Behen Shenema Ki Lo Nachash B'Yakov Lo Kesem B'Yisrael. And Nemak, Yagoyim Eila Shatara Yerushason, that's the pasuk from over here, from Dvam. El Ma'onim, El Kosmim Yishmo, Va'ata, Lochein Nosam Lachar Hashem Lekecha. Yeah. It's a unique lesson also. But that's what the Ram says, Kol Hamamim Bidvar Ma'ilu, V'kayotze Bohenu Machashev Belibo Shehem Emes, U'dvar Chochma, Aval Atara Asrasan, anyone that thinks that there is something to it, but the Torah asked it, prohibited it. Einon elo minas cholim umechesre hadas ubechlal anoshim aktanim she'ein datan shlema. Okay, avabale achachma tmimi hadas yedu berayas brus shekol elo dram shasazar einon divrei chachma la tohu vahevel she'nim shechu bohen chesre hadas v'notchu kol darkei ha'emes beglolam. It means to say that this is what destroyed really the whole Daki Ames. It means to say that that root is the root away from God, and this root, the root of Chachma, is the root towards God. And that's really, that's what the Rambam states quite clearly. But you have to understand that according to the Rambam, the Rambam is identifying a specific challenge, not just, you see, people, some people say, and they hang on the Chazal, that the Avodah Zarah B'Zman Hazeh, the Yetzer Avodah Zarah B'Zman Hazeh is God. So I mean, we learned the Chazal, we say the Chazal, totally different thing in mind, that's just a total, total superficial understanding of what that Chazal means, but that's one thing, to misinterpret a medrash. That's bad, of course. But worse is where you not only misinterpret a medrash, but you affect one of the yesodei hadas, And by saying that, what they're saying is that the Torah has no objective anymore. Because we see that the whole purpose of Kol HaTorah Kula is to uproot an individual from Avodah Zarah. That's all the Chazal, all the Rishonim, nobody argues with that. So what they're saying, that the Avodah Zarah is gone today, they're saying that the Torah is a Dover Rake now. The Bizman is there, we don't need it, because the whole thing was to uproot Avodah Zarah. Now there's no more Avodah Zarah. So it's a Dover Rake. So, of course, the Pasuk says, Lo Dover Rakeum again. So you're denying a Yesod HaDos. You absolutely deny Yesod HaDos. You're denying Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, the whole objective of the Torah, you're saying, is non-existent today. Which is, I don't think you could do much worse. Okay? It's not a matter of people merely misinterpreting Chazal, but they're taking the whole Torah and they're saying it's a Dover Rake, and there's no purpose. Can't be anything worse. So my point is that according to the Rambam, according to the way the Rambam understands the ideas that the Torah is trying to portray when it comes to Kishuv, it sets up a certain challenge for man. It's a challenge, like Rashi says, you have to be a Zohir, a Avodah Zarah, whatever it is a Derech, and requires Zehirus, and the person, the more removed the person is from that institution, the closer he is to God. Okay? That's a Yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula. So, question is, what is it? you have to know what it is. It would seem that if you don't know what that is, I don't see how logically you could say that you're engaged in the objective of the Torah. It just doesn't seem possible. Okay? So, it would seem that in order to follow the Derech HaTorah, a person must identify what this Derech is. That'll seem clear. So the Rambam identifies it. The Rambam identifies it clearly, and the Rambam really is very extensive in his language. He repeats himself in different ways to make sure that the idea is clear. But I think that anyone that sees that Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, in Halacha Tazayin, the last halacha there, knows exactly what he's saying. I mean, it's pretty clear what he's referring to. He didn't take any chances over there. He wasn't cryptic in his description. He's very clear, which he's referring to the mystical trend in man. That, I think, if someone reads that Rambam, I don't think we walk away with any other idea. So that means, you have to understand, that means that Kol HaTorah Kula is the objective of Kol HaTorah Kula is that a person should be very careful that there is a mystical trend. I mean, if the Torah is telling you that this is really the whole objective of life, so that means it must be a very powerful thing to say that a person, the more removed he is from Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah, removal from Avodah Zarah is subject to variation of degree, because you have to be a Zohir. What do you mean a Zohir? A Zohir means a guy that's even further. Right? That's what Zohir means. A guy that's a Zohir in something, it means he's even further removed. So it means that Avodah Zarah is a whole institution, and you have to remove yourself to the nth degree from this institution. You follow? So it must be something in the nature of man. It can't be just an extraneous thing. If it's an extraneous thing, so okay, an extraneous lure, so you avoid it. I mean, it obviously is something which is a part of man's perfection, so it must be something internal in man. So therefore, according to the Rambam, this is Kol HaTorah Kula. According to the Rambam, what is the challenge of Kol HaTorah Kula? It's an amazing thing. The challenge of Kol HaTorah Kula means like this. That man has at his disposal two ways of perceiving reality. One way of perceiving reality is through mystical trends that are in his nature, and the other way is through chachma. The Rambam says, "Ein roi liyisrael shehim chachomim mechukomim limoshech bavolam elu." So it comes out that what the Rambam is saying is that the whole objective of Torah is that a person should make sure that he's not following in his picture of reality, he's not following mystical trends, he's not following that way which his nature would tend to draw him towards, because that's a powerful force, and he has to be able to overcome that and be able to, as powerful and as convincing those emotions are, he should be able to overcome that, and he should be able to say, I'm only going to accept what my chokhmah tells me. That's the derech haTorah. That's derech haTorah. That's tomen tiyah imad Hashem alekecha. So me say tomen tiyah Hashem alekecha means where a person doesn't rely on his inner feelings, on his inner feelings. A person that relies on his inner feelings is an individual that is not as zohar. I wouldn't say he's over isuri avodah zohar, but I would say he's not as zohir in Avodah Zarah. So according to the Rambam, this is a tremendous challenge. This is basically the challenge of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's an amazing thing. It's an interesting thing. And he who allows that part of their nature to influence their thinking is really an individual who has failed insofar as what the Torah is calling upon him to do. Okay? He's failed. I mean, that's basically what the Rambam is saying. Okay. Yeah. The Rechazov, the Hisel. Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, by the way. The Radak by... That's why I want to tell you something. I mean, you can identify that force. Okay, you can identify that force, and you can identify that force by observing various people. I mean, for instance, a person that jumps to a person that jumps to believe or to see a mitzvah in a certain light and is very insistent that and people are getting, you know, this is a whole thing, a whole preoccupation. No, it is a protection. Now, why are people getting so excited about this? What is the excitement here? I mean, if it's a question of what a mitzvah means, we only have one method. We have to use our chokhmah to understand what the mitzvah is. Mezuzah is no different than any other mitzvah. I mean, as far as I know, I mean... If a person is Nezorim in Mezuzah, he'll be Nenash. But if he's not a Zorim of Avodah Zarah, it seems to me the honor should be greater. But for some reason, you see that in certain areas, there are certain emotions that become awakened over here, and you could tell that the person, that the writer, is not being guided by conclusions that are based upon Chachmah. But he wants this conclusion. This is what it must be, the conclusion. No matter what's going to happen, he'll twist this and twist that. He's in a process where he would feel very unhappy if the conclusion didn't come out the way he sees it. So that, what kind of a thing is that? That's exactly that. You can identify just by that alone. That's exactly what we're saying. That a person wants things to be the way their inner world wants to perceive it. That is what the Rambam is talking about. That you can identify. That is, but it's not just in this area. I mean, it's one area. It's in every area. I would say that is really, if you ask what the one of the to sum up the underlying atzas yetzer hara, I would say is the battle that a person has in the derech hachayim. Is that a person wants the world to be the way they want it to be. You see, there's an inner life, not just with regard to it, with regard to everything. I mean, that's why I said that's the story in the Gemara and the Durham about the Tana that would not eat from a carbon nazir, except that one person, that one nazir who cut off his beautiful hair, and he said to the Yitzhar, he saw how handsome he was, and the Yitzhar was goading him on to do chait, and he said that the miatam is go ba'olam she'en shalach. the recognition that the inner perception of what our life is and our world is not the correct perception, but it's a part of our nature that we always have to be careful about and check it and use our chachma to make sure we're following our chachma. Or sometimes you can't turn off the Yetzer, I mean, but at least you won't let him convince you about what reality is. I mean, you can't, the person in the instinctual life is always there, so you can't just shut it off. But there's a difference between a person feeling that he wants reality to be this way and a person saying that because he feels the way, that that's the way it is. That difference is crucial. That difference is crucial. I mean, so according to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, this is really the way the Rambam explains over here what Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is Kolatar Kula. It's Kolatar Kula. In other words, means to say that that part of man is the part of man that denies the emes. He wants to project onto reality what the emes that he wants the emes to be, but he's not ready to accept the emes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He wants to change. He doesn't want to accept this Olam Sheni Shloch. So it's really, it's man's whole inner instinctual life. I mean, this is the whole Melchama Sachayim. I mean, this is the Melchama Sachayim. To be able to override, and it operates on all levels in every area, many areas, and this is something which a person, all his life, he's in the process of doing one thing. He's in the process of reanalyzing reality. And he reaches one level where he sees, I thought it was this way. No, it's not that way. And there's more. And then he has to keep on chipping away and digging away at the world which his inner mind has created. And he keeps on chipping away at it and seeing and letting in the light from the outside, so to speak, what the real world is. The world that God created. So that's Darkei HaEmes. So that's a process. A person fools himself in many ways. Fools himself with regard to his own self-importance, what his role is, many, many things. Everywhere he turns, I mean, he's involved in a delusion of reality. It's a part of the human nature. That's the way man is constructed. So the whole, that's what the Rambam is saying. The nutshell called Darkei HaEmes Beglolon. It means to say Avodah Zarah isn't something which is restricted to a primitive practice, but Avodah Zarah is really the inner life of man distorting reality and removing the called Darkei HaEmes. And the Torah is just the opposite. The Torah is called Darkei HaEmes. That's what the Torah is. So a person is engaged. That, according to the Rambam, that's really the challenge. That's the challenge that the Torah presents to man. He has two ways to go. Either he can keep on following what his inner emotions want to tell him that reality is, or he can chip away slowly, day by day, different things and different emotions in himself that he sees that he was wrong, that he saw this the way he wanted it to be, not the way it is, and to be able to accept the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed them. And it extends to many different areas, many, many areas. Areas that always comes back, basically. I mean, for instance, you take an area like evil. So people are not... People in general aren't of the nature to accept evil. They don't want to accept evil. I mean, essentially, why were the Nazis able to do what they did? one of the reasons, one of the elements is because the world would not believe that such evil exists in man. It's possible. They didn't believe it's possible that a nation could do that. It's not possible. So that's also Avodah Zarah. That's also. You say, what does it have to do with Avodah Zarah? It's not like it's so far removed. One thing is under the other. On the contrary, he's a nice person, and you can't believe that he's living in a world of human beings that are such monsters that it would take an ordinary person months to begin to perceive the nature of their evil. I mean, he's so far removed from it. So you'll say, so that's a nice person? You say, on the contrary, that's a nice person. So that's what the guy would say. See no evil, hear no evil. So that's Derech Avodah Zarah. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. See no evil, hear no evil is Avodah Zarah. Why? Because that means to say that you're not willing to accept the reality of the world that you're in. And what's the reason why a person doesn't want to accept that? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a major reason. Because to accept that is to lose a large extent of your security. See? To believe that your neighbor is a ruthless killer and can turn on you and shoot you tomorrow morning is a difficult thing to live with. Who wants to live like that? You want to think that there's a certain sense of security in the world. I mean, people have a certain level of decency. Okay? So basically, living like that, because the person needs a certain emotional security, what does it lack in? It lacks in Tamim Tiyem Ad Hashem Elokecha. It means that his bitachon b'Hashem is lacking because that's not the reality, and God expects him to know the reality that he's in and not to rely on the neighbor and not to rely on the society, but to know everything is totally in God and in God's will. So it means to say, but he has to have a certain false security around him because he can't make it without that security. That's a Avodah Zarah. That's a Avodah Zarah. So what I want to show you is that that even the recognition of the Torah is very, very, the Torah is very careful to recognize evil. I mean, that's people today. You see, they don't like the Mechias HaMoed. It doesn't appeal to them. Mechias HaMoed. That mitzvah. They wish. A lot of people wish they can get rid of that mitzvah. How can we say we can do this? The reason is because they don't want to accept evil. They don't want to accept. They don't want to understand it. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to understand how detrimental it is. They don't want to believe it exists. You see, that's denial. That's denial of the emes. That's not your dark emes, because the dark emes is that it does exist. And as horrible as it is, we have to recognize it and know it exists. It takes away personal security. A person has to know that his security is not based. Don't base your security on the people that base their security on their friends on their friends in Berlin, and they were very close. That such wonderful geisha friends. We know what happened to that security. So that's a false security, and a person has to be able to face the MS. That's Avodah Zarah is kol tarkul. That's what the Rambam is saying. It's not you called back, and that's the same emotion. That emotion of security expresses itself in the same way where you see today people buy figurines and put it in their house for protection. Why do they do that? Because they need security. So you see, and what is that? Avodah Zarah. It means to say that as long as a person's security is not based on the MS, and not based on the will of God, so then he's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Express itself in areas that are remote, that are removed, very far removed from that. And that's why, on the contrary, the mitzvah Mechias HaMalek is really a mitzvah that shows the infinite Chachmas Hashem, the Chachmas HaTorah. And on the contrary, as much as the Torah goes out of its way to tell you, or the 36 Lavan, with regard to a ger, if you say something that makes him feel a little bad, or lasonu ishes amisa, if you say something that makes a person feel a little bad, you have a lav b'daraisa, and the nth degree of chesed, nevertheless, that same Torah tells you, you must recognize rishis, and you must be able to uproot it in the form that is necessary to remove it. And if you don't, so then you really don't have any chelak in the Teres Hashem, because a person that denies one mitzvah, he denies kol ha-terkol. That's basically that's basically what the Rambam is explaining. Rambam's explaining that Avodah Zarah is kol dakei ames. Of course, it has a primitive form, but the same thing that exists in the primitive form, insofar as the emotions of man are concerned, is expressed every day in all different areas, all different phases of life. And that's the sort of kol dakei, to be able to be, that's what Rambam says in the end, and that's what says, tomim tiyeh emet Hashem alekach. That insofar as you rely on that inner world, which describes a world that's false, you see, then you are removed from the Darkei Emes. And it's not possible. It's not possible to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the full sense. I mean, insofar as he's removed, of course, it's possible. But it's always insofar as he's removed. There's no. You can't. It's not something that has a fixed thing that you could say, you know, okay, he has a relationship. Insofar as he's removed, he has a relationship. Insofar as he's not removed, he has no relationship. It depends how far it goes. It's a subject to variation of degree. Obviously, if this is something which is the whole Melchemes HaChayim, according to the Rambam, that's the whole Melchemes HaChayim, so it's something which is has a subject to variation of degree. And that's why you see by Avraham Avinu, that's the... What is the Avraham Avinu? Salak lefane ve'yei samim, and that was tamin tiyem and Hashem lekecha. He was makayim it. It means that he was able to overcome every fantasy, every illusion, and be able to see reality exactly the way it is. And that's why he was makayim tamin tiyem and Hashem lekecha. That's the level of Avraham Avinu. That's the level of Avraham Avinu. That's the Rambam. Rambam is explaining that really the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. The mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is like Rashi says, like Chazal say, it's kol haterkul. Okay. What I want to do is, there is a Ramban that has a different view. What I would like to do is, I would like to take up the Ramban, the Shita's Ramban. The Ramban essentially is in the Dvarim Yudches Pasuk Tes, but there are a few other Rambans, and I'd like to go through the Rambans, because as I said, certain things, as I mentioned before, I think that it's something that we have to understand how he learns and how he differs from the Rambam, and then we have to understand what it means. I mean, what is the Derech HaChayim? Because this is something which you see is kol haterkul. So you can't say it's an arbitrary thing. And in today's world, you see, when you look around, you'll see all the nonsense, the stupidities that are going on. I mean, and once a thing is stupid, you know it can't be terror. But the thing is that I feel that it's not enough just to say that or to be critical. You have to understand in depth what the whole Indian is. I mean, you have to understand the parsha. So I think we explain what the Rambam is saying, and we understand what the Rambam is saying, and it makes perfect sense. But there is a Ramban that we have to learn also. He has a different approach, different sheet. We have to study the sheets of Ramban, and that's what I like to do. I like to do it on a Friday morning, because I don't think it's something for for a Sunday. Sunday, you know, you have to know there's a different kind of a shiur. So what I have to stop now with regard to this. But for next week, I'd like you to prepare a Ramban, and there's a couple of the other Rambans. I think the Chevelle in the footnotes he gives you the other cross references in the Ramban. So prepare those, and besides the ones that he mentioned, there are other ones also. I mean he's just giving you the overt textual references, but there are other Rambans that are very significant. Okay. See, what I was trying to point out today is nothing new in terms of the ideas themselves. We've spoken about this many times, but I want to emphasize the idea that this is the challenge of Yahadus. I mean, that's something I think people don't see a lot of times. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so the Pesukim, the Pesuk the Rebbe was quoting before in the Radak, is located in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Ches, Pesuk Chaf Dalet, Dibur Maschel Vasofehu Matzos.
There are several Rambans on the area of the several Rambans on the area of the mystical, okay? Differs from the Rambam totally. But I shouldn't say totally. I'll say it differs. Okay. According to the Rambam, the whole thing is absolutely nonsensical, as we mentioned last time. But the Ramban disagreed with the Rambam. What exactly the Ramban held is not really clear. Okay, it's not clear. But he did believe in some kind of a system, okay? Now, the one that the Ramban starts talking a little more is La Se'irim. V'lo yizbuchu od zivcheyam La Se'irim, asher heim zonim achareyam. So there the Ibn Ezra goes like the Rambam. He says that anyone that believes in them, that they have any powers, is zonim achare Hashem. And basically, it seems he agrees with the Rambam that it's nonsense. Okay, and the Rambam in the Mor and Nevuchim explain. I told you the Rambam in the Mor, where he says that they would always go out of the cities. They'd go out of the cities because they would claim that these Shadim don't come into the city. And the Rambam includes that. He says, Yeah, the Rambam is in chapter 46 of the Mor. He says, the prohibition of slaughtering cattle for common use applied only to the wilderness. Why? Only when they were in the Midbar. Because as regards the spirits, it was then the general belief that they dwelt in deserts, that there they spoke and were visible, whilst in towns and in cultivated land they did not appear. In accordance with this belief, those inhabitants of a town who wanted to perform any of those stupid practices left the town and went to the woods and wastelands. So basically, what the Rambam is saying is, I mean, it's like, in other words, the people that believe in these things, they usually maintain they exist in places where where it's very hard to disprove their existence. Okay? It's like, whenever you try to put it to the test, you can't do it for some reason because they're not where you're doing the test. Okay? Yeah, right. So they where do they exist? Where you can't disprove their existence. And also it's also true that people that are alone emotionally become disturbed, and they start imagining, or their imagination starts working very strongly in situations where people are alone and in the desert. The fears play on the imagination. So people who are of that nature, you see, who are not educated, not chachamim, they start saying things. So, and then they start, the Rambam has that too. The Rambam has it somewhere where he says that in Sanhedrin he has, in the Pirush Mishnayos, I think, where he says clearly that the Isser is to let you, for an individual to let himself go into that state. That's what he says. But anyways, okay, but that's the Rambam. But the Ramban did believe that there was some kind of a system. Okay? The Ramban says like this. He says, and this is the Ramban in Vayikra Yud Zayin Zayin. Yep. He says, the Inyan Masham or Shomin Masha Osid Leos, that the Shadim, that you can hear from the Shadim what's going to happen in the future, he says, Kibati Sason Ba'avir Ashamayim Yikablu Asidus, that when they fly in the heavens, they will receive the future Misori HaMazolos HaShochnim Ba'avir. Okay, and he says like this, and he says, V'heim Negidei HaTli, whatever it is, Misham Yagidu Gam Balei HaKnafayim Asidos V'kasher Hu Menusa Ben Achashim, the birds, in other words, V'kasher Hu Menusa Ben Achashim V'keshafarish Ben Komo Be'ezosh Hashem V'elu Einam Yodin B'masha Osid Lios L'yomim Rabin Melitim Rechokos. They can't know what's going to happen in the distant future. Rak Yodiyu Ba'osid Lios Bekorov. Okay? They know the future, the immediate future. Ki Yodanu B'nisyon Nosom Shiyakablu Min HaShedim B'nigzar Lovo V'lochein Tirgum Unkelus Yizbuchu LaShedim Loa Loa De'bochu L'Shedim D'les B'hun Tzroch. It's interesting. Uncle says the less B'hun Tzroch, that they're worthless, basically. But the Ramban is trying to fit that in with his sheet there, and he's saying What he means is Yom HaShem Bam Shum Tzorach. It's funny. I mean, it doesn't really fit into well, because he's saying, the Ramban is saying now, he seems to be changing from what I said before. Because Uncle says, Yiz b'chul Hashem lo aloha. That's what the Rambam said in the Mora. He said, what does it mean, lo aloha? It's not enough that they serve things that exist. They serve things of their imagination. So Uncle says, Yiz b'chul Hashem lo aloha in Azinu. He says, V'les b'hon tzroch. There's no need. Yom Hashem b'am shum tzorach. Why? Ki lo yimnu ha-nezek ka-osin. V'lo yasu shum to'eles. V'gam lo yodiyo b'rochok she-yishtamer mimenu ha-odam b'dayto. There's no benefit you can derive from them. I don't understand why you can't derive from the immediate future. But anyways, Rulash Nakasav Gam Kain Lo Aloha, Ki Iloama Lo Koachum Mamshala, has no power. Ki Elohim Lashan Ayolus Vekoach, Ilus Vekoach, power. Okay? Aleim Yom Hashem B'Shedim Ilus V'Shum Koach U'Lekach Ein Tzorach Bam Ki Lo Yiru V'Gam Heitiv Ein Osam. It's very unclear. I don't really understand what the Ramban is saying. Because on the one end, the Ramban is saying they don't know the distant future, but they do know the immediate future. Then he's saying, but they don't have any benefit. But he seems to say because of the fact that they can't tell you the distant future, and they can't prevent any damage. And they can't, and they don't have any. Then he says, "Ein lahem lo ilus for koach." What he means is that they're passive recipients of something, and they don't have any power. Okay, so it's not clear exactly what the Ramban held in terms of their abilities, and it seems they're not prime movers. But they're like the passive recipients of some kind of knowledge, and the knowledge that they receive is not a complete knowledge. It's partial. And then you see again he brings down the Moloch. When he comes to the Moloch, he says like this: "Amolochi avodazor shem kirin lo aktanim avolach shem atzono kosev levulti lahaveishes benov es bidul beish la Moloch neemnu diver rabasino shak." He says, Over here he seems to say, this Ramban seems to say that it's all absolutely false, like the Rambam. This one is in Perek Yitches Chof Aleph Vayikra. There's another Ramban, which is, I don't have right now, maybe I'll search it out and find it, where he mentions that it is stupidity and nonsense. I have to find it, just a second. So I'm saying that there are Ramban, the Ramban is not clear, but anyways, let's take this Ramban, assuming that it's an accurate Ramban. Ramban says like this, that he says, and it's clear to Ramban holds that stupid things are also. That's clear. Because he includes that on the Moloch. So stupid things are also. There's no question Ramban doesn't disagree with that. That's what he says, where they have these visions that are baseless. So Ramban says clearly that's also. There's no question about it. That the only thing is that he holds that under that class there are stupid things that are nonsensical and shtus v'hevel, that's usher, but then there's something else that's not shtus v'hevel, that's also usher. But shtus v'hevel is unquestionably usher. The Ramban is very, very difficult to understand. Because over here he says like this. He says, V'loshin Sifri, it's a mitzvah ches in the Ramban, in the mitzvahs that the, a mitzvah sheshachachos on a rav. Mitzvah ches. You see, it's like this, says, V'inyin ha-tzavoh azo shen yachid lovenu elov levado yisborach v'shenamen shehu levado osa kol v'hu ha-yodea amitis kol osid u'mimenu levado nidrash abos menevi'ov o'me'an shechasidov rotzaloma urim v'tumim v'lo nidrash mehovre shemayim v'lo mizulosam v'lo niftach sheyavo divrehem al kol ponim. Avol in nishma dover mehem nomar kol b'de shemayim ki hu meshanam arechas ha-kochov ma-mazolos kitzono mefer osos badim v'kosmin v'namin shekol ha-bo'os tiyeno eleinu kifi iskaravnu la-avodasa. That's the only thing that's going to affect us is the level of closeness to God. Kinyin shivtiach al derech ha-goyim al-tumah b'yosos shemayim al-techatu. The Navi says Vomer bepek basar psochen, minayin shein sholim dover min akaldoyim shenema tamim tiyem Hashem alekecha. Vahakaldoyim heim sheiras huma misasekes mimlechas akachov. Sheoser akosuv lishol laosuv meov yedoni umesim umemeonein vekosein vachnei tiva. Shouldn't be afraid of them, what they say. It's exactly like the Rambam says. And mitzvahs nitztav Avraham Avinu kasher bolich ras lo bris lasis lazer amas al tam lefanav yei tamim. Yet midnei who or midnei hoya who all of Hashalom yisod ba'emuna va'acholek al akazdim shei misyachsim akochos kulam l'shemesh l'rech kochavim v'hu rosh yesh aleim yotzem manig tzivu od l'sach v'fan liyas tamim mimav lo yitain b'libo sheyehei b'zuloso shum emes. Amazing, what's wrong? She'er lo yitain b'libo sheyehei b'zuloso shum emes. V'lo yistakol b'nyanam klau. In daito sheyotzro manigosam. You see, v'lo yistakol b'nyanam klau in daito sheyotzro manigosam. And that was a combination idea. Elo yiyalibo elov levado yisala. In other words, there's no other force besides God, basically. That's what he's saying. Okay? That's what he's saying. It's exactly like the Rambam. It's an amazing Ramban. But anyways, it's an amazing Ramban. On Tam Tiyam Shon Lekecha? Yeah, okay, yeah, the Ramban says it he says the same thing, and well, that's basically what he holds in Mitzvah Sech. Same thing over there. Okay. But anyways, over there's a little more, he elaborates a little more in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Elaborates a little more. There are a couple of phrases there, that are not here. But anyways, okay, so now let's see this Ramban. Okay, what does Ramban say? Says like this. Yud Ches Tes. I'm not going through the first part of Ramban. You go through yourself. But the Ramban's right from Ose Kolela is very difficult because you have it in other places too. Ose Kolela just doesn't. It's a very difficult thing. I don't know what his right is from there. But anyways, because you have Kitov Hashem Ose Kolela, Kol Ose Ela is mentioned in other places too. Like by not only by Kishuv, but it's mentioned by Gezel and by it's difficult. We look through the Pesukim, it's very difficult. I don't know if it's right. But anyways, now he goes, Vata Dava Hovin, this is part of one thing. Vata Dava Hovin bin Yonei Akshofen. Ki a Yizbore Yizborach, kashe bora ko me ayin, oso ha'ol yonim man hige ha-tachtonim, asher lamata mehen. All right, so he made the heavens are the manhigim of the lower, of the lower world. Okay? V'nosan koach oretz v'chol asher oleo b'kochovim u'mazolos l'fihan ha'gosom u'mabotom bohem k'asher hu menusa b'chochmas v'atstagnos. And this is proven, demonstrated in the chochma of astrology. V'osa oed al kochovim u'mazolos manhigim malochim v'sorim Shehem Nefesh Lahem. Okay? And he made these, besides on these Kochom Mazolos, he made certain appointees that are like a soul for them. V'hine ha'nagosom me'eise yosom ad la'olom v'ad gzeres olyan asher som lahem aval ho'yim minifloss v'atzum m'sheyesh b'koch ha'manhigim olyonim darke t'munos v'kochos lohomir hanhogas asher l'mata mehem she'im yiye mabat ha'kochov b'fonav asher k'neged ha'oretz tova o'ro la'oretz o'la'am o'la'ish yamiru osom aponim olyonim olov lehefach b'mabot atzmo ki'inyin she'omru t'muras. So you know it's saying that this system that was instituted was done in order that the teva should not have to be changed whenever Hashgacha intervenes. Okay. While Cain Oma Baal Sefer Alavona Chochem ben Necromancia. So he says, Kishah Alavona v'inikras gagal olam v'rosh tleh al derech moshel v'yipnei mazel ploni te'osa temuno l'dova ploni v'yuchak bo shem ha'shov v'shem ha'malach ha'mamuno lev and ha'shem o'sahim and ha'skram bo sefer. Okay? So he said like this. So he says, he claims, so what he's saying is that there's a system. In other words, that there's a normal system, but the system is working by the Sori Mala. What the Sori Mala exactly, I mean, it is, as I said, I don't fully understand, but he seems to say it has like a nefesh, and that permits, that permits a change in the Nihug. Okay? Vine gamze anhoga alavono anhoga salavono bekoach maniga aval anhoga pshuto sheba mala. Okay, so he says the anhoga salavono is manigit bekoach aval anhoga pshuto sheba mahalocha hu chayfetz aboris barach asher som bohem meoz v'ze hefach v'ze sorak shofen v'kocham shom bem shem akhishim pamalya shomayla loma shehem hepach akochas apshutim. והם הקושה לפמליה בצד מהצדודים והכן רואי שהתסור עושם התורה שיונח עולם למנהוגו לטבע הפושט שהוא חפץ בורו וגם זה מטעמי ישר הקליים כי יבואו מן הקובוס צמוחים יעשו פעולוס נוחריוס יולידו שינויים ממנהוגו של עולם לרע לטוב מלבד שהם עצמם שינוי ביצירו כאשר פירשתי כבר. Okay. So the Ramban says like this. Ramban is saying that you can effectuate some kind of change, but that the Torah asked. Torah asked it because the minhag pashut is God's will, and therefore you shouldn't interfere with God's will. He says it's similar to Kalayim. To the way he interprets Issa Kalayim. According to Ramban, the Issa Kalayim is that you're not permitted to add or to change the specific plants and animals that are in the creation, because that's a manifestation of God's will, that this is the way it should be. He says, similarly, he says, even though it's possible through Kishuf to be Makish Pamalya Shamayla, and that's what he explains. The Pamalya Shamayla means that in the heavens there are, the heavens are a place which dictate the how things occur over here, and therefore he says that you can intercede and cause changes through this process, but it's also to do so because it would be similar to Kalayim. That's what he says. It would be similar to Kalayim because it's God's will that the nihug, the normal nihug, should take place, and you're interfering with the normal nihug. Okay? Okay. Yeah, it goes a little further. He says like this. He goes a little further. He says, V'rabim yischastu b'nechoshim lom ha'shem b'nenes klal. He says, some people want to say that it's not, the whole thing is nonsense, not true. Ki miya yagid la'ore v'lagar mayiyah. He says, who's going to tell a bird what's going to happen in the future? But then he says, "Vanachnu lo nuchal lahakish devarim yisparsimul le'enei roim." He says, "We can't deny things that have already been proven, demonstrated to be true. V'rabosinu gam ken yodu b'hem, k'mo shomu b'veilu shmos rabba, ki of ha-shamayim yoluch ha-sakol, ze ha-orei v'chach masatiyaren, ha-ofos b'loshin orif tia, v'chach me-ofos yikutiyaren, v'od muskar mizeo inyin b'gemar, avol yesh lo inyin ha-zesod. Okay. V'kvar ha-odanu, sheyesh lo mazolo sorim, v'hem nefashos l'kadure ha-gagalim v'sorei zonov v'tleh, הקרוב מאוד פיין הקרוב נגידי התלי יודיעו אסידוס ומהם נעשם סימנים באופוס שבהם יבודו אסידוס ולא לזמן גודל, like I said before, ולא אסידוס רחוקוס יגידו רק באסידוס הקרובוס לובו יודיעו מהם בכל האוף בקור בכל מר על מייס ומהם בפרישוס כנפה. Well, I mean, for the stock market, I guess it'll be good. You know what tomorrow's, what's going to happen tomorrow. Who shall my yehenev? Bushama Yalhazakola Magalze a Nenu to Evo Baam Aval Chokma Techoshivlam. The Kacham of a Terf Chokma Shlom Chokma Skobane Kedem. So he goes into exactly that it is a Chokma. And it sifts, so he goes to open. Okay. Now a Kashakola Kosmim on a Kosmim Mematoivos and his Koros, Kosa Pishgram Elisha Yerushalma Kosmim Shmo. כי חכמסם לדעס הבוס ואתם לא חיין עשם לך את השם לקחה יום הנה עשם לך השם המייסם האלה נזכרם בעבור שאין תואבוס לפניו ובגרולם הורש הגויים מהם יפונך ועשה לך הנחש מקסם בעבור שעשה לך מילה גדולה לסיתך אליון על כל גוי אורץ שיקם בקרבך נבי ואיתן דבורו בפי ואתו מיש תשמע ממנו מה יפלקל ולא תצטרך אתו בסידס על כוסם ומנחש שיקבלו עשו מן הכוחות ממנו מן השפולים בשורים מלו שאין כל דבריהם אמס. There he says that they're not 100% ולא ידיעו בכל הצורך אבל הנבואה תדיע חפץ השם ולא ייפול דובר מכל דבריה. The נבואה, like the Rambam says, נבואה is always accurate, exactly accurate and precise. והוא שיפר ישוע דובר של דבר השם והנה אתו חלקו סגולוסו שמע עצוסו מפיו והם חלק המזולוס הולכים אחרים וזה תם לא חיין נסנו לך את השם לקחה שלא נסנו לך כאשר נסנו להם כתם אשר כל לך את השם לקחה עושים לכל העם כשפירשתי ובספרי המון אם הלכוס משמעו שם התם להם יש במה לשאול ואין לי לשאול תם הלמה ואתם לא חיין נסנו לך את השם לקחה והנה זה ראיה בכל מה שפירשנו כי נחושם שורש דובר נמצא בם ולכן הולי לשאול תיינו במיני מהם. So basically, okay, yeah. So basically, I just want to mention, yeah. So what I'm interested in is like this, okay. According to the Ramban, so Ramban's saying that they are effective. So the question, the big question is, so why not? Why can't you use them? That's the question. Finding the future is an interesting thing. See, finding the future, he says, because God gave you a Navi, and a Navi is superior. Right? Of course, the question is, when you don't have a Navi, so why shouldn't I find the future? That's a good question. What? Excuse me? What? So probably the Ramban would say that you aren't permitted to do that because you really... Even though you're supposed to await the Navi also, achakalo. So therefore, you're not allowed to turn to that. That's what the Rambam would probably say. That's why you're not allowed to turn to those methods of determining the future. Because, in other words, because v'aton lo chein nasan l'chad Hashem l'kecha means always. You don't have a Navi now, so you have to look forward to the Navi. And if you turn to this, then you're turning away from the Navi. There's no that. He's saying l'sitcha elyon because you have a higher level. Through the Navi. So you're not allowed to use the lower level because then you're denying the Navi. And the Navi is the real ultimate way of knowing what's going to happen because the Navi knows directly and he says, and they're not always 100%. In other words, what he's saying is that there is some system. I mean, I just want to make this clear. That the Ramban's ideas are not, when the Ramban says it is so, the Ramban's ideas are not mystical, in the sense that we say mystical, that he's attracted to some kind of an emotional projection. That's not what he holds. You see, what he said, but what he was convinced based upon what he thought. I mean, what the scientists in those times thought, and he accepted that as fact. Okay, I mean, I'll show you something. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, in the second chelek, chapter 10. Okay. The Ram says follows. It is a well-known fact that the philosophers, when they discuss in their works the order of the universe, assume that the existing order of things in this sublunary world of transient beings depends on forces which emanate from the spheres. We have mentioned this several times. Okay? And he even says that's what Chazal mean when they say there is no single herb below without its corresponding star above. Okay? That's the Rambam. The term mazel means a star. All right? They have thus clearly expressed it, that even each individual being in this world has its corresponding star. Although the influences of the spheres extend over all beings, there is besides the influence of a particular star directed to each particular species. A fact noticed also in reference to the several forces in one organic body. For the whole universe is like one organic body, as we have stated above. It's a Rambam and a Marvel. And it's not just the Rambam, but it's the philosophers, all the philosophers. You see? The Rambam states a similar kind of a thing, that the order of it is a well-known fact that the philosophers discuss this, their works on the order of the universe. They assume the existing order of things in this sublunary world of transient beings depends on forces which emanate from the spheres. Same, very, very close to the Rambam. Not exactly the same. They take two different paths, but you have to know. I mean, what you have to know is that this was. I mean, these were all the greatest thinkers at that time did believe that the heavens are different than the earth, and that the laws of nature emanated from the spheres. From the heavens. I mean, we know today that there is no difference. There's virtually no difference. There's no such thing as the heavens, because the concept of place has been shown to be non-existent. In those days, the assumption was that there's an idea of place. Universe is place. So the zodiac was place. The concept of place. This is in this place, and that's in that place, and from their positions in a certain place, they can exercise influence. But once you take away the concept of place, the whole thing falls apart. And the truth of the matter is that we know today that there's no such thing as place in the universe. The idea of place was a complete, before relativity, there was an assumption of absolute space and place. It does not exist. Okay. So basically, this whole theoretical structure, you see, the whole theoretical structure falls apart. Excuse me? There's no sense mazolos, because if you put on binoculars, you wouldn't see them anymore. You'd see a whole different sky. The assumption was that what you see with your eyes is real. It turns out it's not true. Excuse me? Yeah, but the whole thing is not sense, because there's no things of place, and it's just arbitrary. You're just picking stars because your eyes, you're this size. If your eyes had better vision, you'd have the whole different picture. And as I said, put on binoculars, the whole thing vanishes. But the whole idea is erroneous. We know today it's erroneous. Okay, but it was an assumption that all the thinkers assumed. I want to show you. The Rambam mentions it, and he even quotes Chazal to support it, and it was the view of the ancients. But that was the ancients. It was based on the astronomy of the ancients at that time. Like I showed you yesterday, I showed the guys in my show with the frog, where the Rambam says that a frog is made up half of earth, half earth and half flesh. And he says that many, many people told him that they saw this thing, and that's why he accepts that it's true. But we know that it's not true. But science, biologists until about the 18th century believed in such a thing. It looks like that, has the appearance of that, but no one really bothered to check it out, to dissect it.